One, this is the last meeting, I think, of Community and Regional Affairs. Let the record show that the committee convened at 8:07 a.m. Today we have present Representative Herod, Representative Kito, Co-Chair Nagyak, and myself, Co-Chair Ledoux. I would also like to recognize and to thank our staff today for all of the good work they've done throughout this committee. We have Chris Jones, the House Recording Secretary, and Lori Berg, our LIO moderator. And we have our CRA committee aides, Kimberly Clark and Lisa Vaught. Everyone, please turn off your cell phone. Today, we have on the agenda SB 157, Fire Protection Service Areas, and SB 213, Municipal Elections. The first today, we will be hearing SB 157, and we have a CS before us for 157. So, Representative Nagyak, can I have a motion to adopt the CS as the working document?
Yes, ma'am. I move to adopt the proposed committee substitute for Senate Bill 157, version 28-LS1329/C as a working document.
Okay, and I'm going to object for purposes of discussion. Do we have Senator Cogham or a staff member here to put themselves on the record and to address SB 157?
Good morning, Co-Chairs Ledoux and Co-Chair Nagyak and members of the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee. For the record, my name is Hans Rodvik, intern to Senator Coghill. Thank you for hearing Senate Bill 157 relating to fire service protection areas. The CS before you changes the bill, and it makes it apply only to second-class boroughs in the state of Alaska. There's seven second-class boroughs. The changes are made on page 2, line 8, and we inserted that subsection B there that says in a second-class borough that would result in. So our reasoning behind that was because fire service areas in second-class boroughs serve only areas that are outside of city limits, and there were some concerns about larger first-class boroughs scooping up some areas that are on the borders, not inside those city limits. So with that, that really is the changes that are made to the bill. And at this point, what I'd like to do is kind of explain the intent behind it, if I may.
Go right ahead.
All right. So the bill before you today, Senate Bill 157, is about providing the public with fire emergency services in the quickest amount of time possible. The intent is to ensure that in the case of an emergency, property owners are served by a fire department that's nearest to their property. Up in the Fairbanks North Star Borough, where the sponsor of this bill resides, it's not the case. Some of the maps that are provided in your bill packet show that we have certain fire departments travel through a different fire service area to reach the land parcel requesting help. So we have fire crews pass by another fire department that's actually much closer to that piece of property. So what Senate Bill 157 does is it allows property owners and municipalities a quick fix to these public safety problems. Under current law, 29.35.450C, local assemblies can increase the number of land parcels in a fire service area without the vote of property owners, so long as that increase isn't more than 6% or wouldn't add more than 1,000 residents. Under the original version of the bill, we were adding in a corollary provision that would allow an assembly to reduce the number of parcels in a fire service area so long as the property owners concurred with it and it their request met criteria set out by ordinance. And so what this CS does is that it simply applies that provision to second-class boroughs. Like I said, under current law, an election of the entire service area is necessary just to remove one single parcel or make a minor boundary change. These elections are costly, cumbersome, and typically have very dismal turnout rates. So Senate Bill 157 simplifies this process by allowing property owners only in second-class boroughs to request removal from a fire service area or be transferred into another area that provides more accessible or quicker fire protection service areas, which is the real intent of the bill. And some of the maps provided, like I had mentioned before, there's areas up in the Fairbanks North Star Borough that have funny boundaries. And so the bill provides property owners a streamlined way to fix such ambiguous boundaries of the fire service areas. Fire service areas are constantly growing and even being created. The bill provides property owners the ability to adjust quickly to these boundary changes. The ability to establish a less cumbersome process for changing fire service area boundaries allows second-class boroughs to define more natural boundaries for their fire service areas, and therefore making it easier on emergency responders to determine which parcels to serve. In conclusion, Senate Bill 157 provides second-class boroughs and their subsequent fire service areas the ability needed to adjust boundaries based on service levels available. Online, we should have David Gibbs, the Director of Emergency Operations for the Fairbanks North Star Borough, able to answer any questions of the committee, and possibly Jeff Tucker, who's now the Kenai fire chief down on Kenai. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions? Representative Kito.
Thank you. Good presentation. I'm trying to understand the intent or the actual effect of the change, and I'm wondering if you could explain to me, is there a problem right now with the existing statute that allows for increasing the number of parcels? It seems as though at least the situations that are depicted in the maps show that there's one service area parcel that would be removed from one service area, but it would be added to another service area. So is there a reason we're not able to use the existing statute that says you can add to an existing service area?
Through the chair, Representative Kito, what you're describing there is essentially what the bill simplifies that process of shifting the parcel. So under current statute, to remove that one parcel to the other one to have faster fire service, they have to go through a fire service area-wide election, which requires, you know, sending out all the ballots to the property owners in that fire service area. And so what the bill does, it just says if the property owners come to the municipality and say, we would like to be removed or transferred to this fire service area, they can simply do that without having to go through the long election process.
Okay.
Any further questions? Well, I am going to remove my objection, and I'd now like to open this up to public testimony. And we've got online David Gibbs from the Fairbanks North Star Borough, and we have Jeff Tucker, the Alaska Fire Chiefs Association. So, David, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. To the co-chairs, members of the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee, my name is David Gibbs. I'm the Director of Emergency Operations with the Fairbanks North Star Borough. I want to come out by saying that the Fairbanks North Star Borough certainly supports passage of the committee substitute, Senate Bill 157. In our borough, fire service areas were established in the early 1980s with a best guess estimate or eye toward future growth and development patterns. For the most part, these growth estimates held true, and our residents currently enjoy high-quality fire protection services. However, there are a few situations where development has not occurred as anticipated, and service area residents owning parcels along the boundaries of fire service areas may be receiving substandard fire response due to distances from service providers or very limited fire protection due to problems with accessibility. Our borough believes that the only avenue currently available in statute to address these anomalies with fire service area boundaries is overly cumbersome, as it requires the expense and effort of multiple elections to make even minor adjustments to the boundaries of existing fire service areas. SB 157 provides municipalities with a much-needed tool by giving a municipality the authority to decrease or transfer, by ordinance, a small number of parcels in a fire service area without holding an election. Decreasing or transferring parcels by ordinance provides property owners with an opportunity for a public hearing before any action is taken. So some examples, parcels along the boundary of a fire service area might be decreased at a property owner's request if, for example, they are not road accessible. In the Fairbanks Star Star Borough, there are areas that were included in fire service areas where development was planned, roads were planted, but the roads were never built. Residents were still paying fire protection taxes, but due to limited accessibility, cannot reasonably expect to receive high-quality fire services. Passage of this legislation and a companion ordinance by municipalities will allow a property owner in this situation to petition the municipality's legislative body to have his property removed from a fire service area until better road access was developed. We do not have a mechanism currently to remove people from fire service areas who cannot receive the service. The other example is properties may be transferred to an adjacent fire service area when the adjacent service area has a much closer fire station and therefore able to provide a much higher level of fire protection. And I believe we provided maps that shows a couple of examples of these situations that exist within our borough. These are examples where a fire department in our borough may have to pass through one or more adjacent fire service areas before it can provide services to its own area. In closing, the Fairbanks Star Star Borough believes SB 157 will greatly assist our ability to administer fire service areas by ensuring service area boundary parcel owners receive the best possible fire protection, and giving those residents who are paying for but not receiving fire service areas a simple and straightforward method to remove their property from a fire service area. I'll try to answer any questions that you may have, and thank you very much for your time and consideration of my comments.
Any questions for Mr. Gibbs? Next on the line, thank you very much, Mr. Gibbs, for your testimony.
Thank you.
The next on the line is Jeff Tucker Jeff, can you identify yourself for the record and tell us whom you represent?
Yes, sir. Good morning, Madam Co-Chair. My name is Jeff Tucker. I represent the Alaska Fire Chiefs Association. I'm currently the fire chief for the City of Kenai Fire Department, but I was recently the fire chief for the North Star Volunteer Fire Department up in the Fairbanks North Star Borough. The Alaska Fire Chiefs Association supports the CS for Senate Bill 157. This is an issue for providing the most effective and most efficient fire service that can be provided. The current process that's involved, as Mr. Gibbs described, is a very cumbersome process. This allows a municipality to adjust boundaries so that the most the closest fire service area could respond to an emergency. This is not just located in the Fairbanks North Star Borough, but also other workplaces throughout the state have these issues as fire service areas grow, changes, developments are placed in places that were not initially intended. It becomes problematic for us to provide fire service. And the Alaska Fire Chiefs Association supports Senate Bill 157 and CS for that bill. And that's my testimony.
Thank you very much, Mr. Gibbs. Jeff. Any questions for Mr. Tucker? All right. Well, again, thank you very much for your testimony. So is there anyone else, either online or in this room, who would like to testify? Well, then I would like to close public testimony. Hans, do you have any final remarks?
Co-Chair Ledoux? No, that's pretty much it. I think the testimony we heard from Mr. Gibbs and Chief Tucker pretty much summed up the intent of the bill. It's about providing fire protection services in the quickest time possible.
Thank you. And any discussion from committee members? Well, then, Representative Nagyak, do you have a motion?
I move the committee substitute for Senate Bill 157-28-LS1329-C from committee with individual recommendations and detached fiscal note.
All right. Hearing no objection, the bill so moves. A brief at ease so that we can sign the bill folder. The next item on the agenda is Senate Bill 213. Don't see Senator Machiki here, but come on forward and introduce yourself for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Larry Simmons. I'm staff for Senator Machiki, and he would like to be here, but he's over in another committee discussing a different bill. So Senate Bill 213 is a bill that allows municipalities to efficiently conduct elections. Currently, the state statute requires that an election board be established for every election in every precinct. If an election is conducted by other than in-person balloting, the municipality still has to hire election boards, but they don't have a job to do in every precinct because people aren't voting in person. So this bill simply allows, through statute, for municipalities to conduct elections efficiently by means other than in-person balloting. And we have the, it has a zero fiscal note. It was not amended in the process in the other body. It has the support of the Alaska Municipal Clerks Association, and I believe that the Kenai Peninsula Borough Clerk, Johnny Blankenship, is available online, and perhaps other representatives of the Kenai Peninsula Borough, who are the ones who requested this change.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Simmons? Representative Kito.
Thank you, Larry. One simple question, I think. It seems like we're establishing this board. I appreciate that. Do we actually allow non-in-person elections for municipal in the state now? That would be the mail-in ballots only?
Yes.
Something similar?
The statute does allow for other than in-person balloting, including mail-in ballots.
Okay. Thank you.
So let me see if I understand this. Like, for example, the Lake and Penn Borough, I know they do all of their municipal elections by absentee ballot. Under the current statute, not your bill, but under the current statute, they'd have to have an election board, but the election board wouldn't have anything to do?
My understanding is that in conducting elections, there must be an election board for each precinct. Now, I think that each voting place would maybe be a better, in my mind, a better place, where people are going to come and vote. So it would be my understanding that I don't know what the makeup of the Lake and Penn Borough's election precincts looks like, if they have many or few, I don't know. But the current statute says that they must have an election board for each precinct. And this bill would allow a municipality to choose to only have election boards at, for example, an absentee precinct, so that people would be able to go to an absentee precinct and vote in person, and the rest of the mail-in ballots would not require, because they're not voting in person, it would not require an election board at each precinct.
What does an election board do exactly?
You know, I would prefer, if you don't mind, if Johnny Blankenship is online, a clerk that's responsible for that would be a better person to ask that question, if you don't mind, Madam.
No, I don't mind. So I'm going to, if there are no further questions for Mr. Simmons, I'm going to open public testimony, and we've got Johnny Blankenship online. So, Ms. Blankenship, You want to identify yourself for the record, tell us whom you represent. You can give your testimony if you'd like to, and then I've got a couple of questions for you.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, my name is Johnny Blankenship. I am the clerk for the Kenai Peninsula Borough. I am also the immediate past president of the Alaska Association of Municipal Clerks. We requested this bill because we would like to conduct elections by mail, and in reviewing the state statutes, it became clear that even if we did conduct our elections by mail, we would still have to hire election judges to sit at polling locations where there was no balloting actually taking place. And that seemed like an unnecessary expense and one that we felt that needed to be amended. So this bill would allow for us to conduct elections by mail or other means and only hire election boards where we needed them.
Thank you. So do I understand correctly that at each polling place, there's not only the people that check you in when you go to vote, but there are actual election judges there?
Essentially, that is one and the same. The people who check you in, give you your ballot, and you put your ballot in the ballot box, that group of people, typically 3 to 4 people, that is considered an election board, and their individual names are election judges.
Okay.
But they are one and the same.
So that right now, for example, I remember in Kodiak that there was one precinct in Kodiak which covered the southern portion of the island, but it actually wasn't a precinct where anybody could actually go and vote. It was a mail-in precinct. So election judges had to be hired specifically for that precinct, even though nobody was going to vote there under the current law?
That is the way that the current law is written, that the municipality shall appoint an election board composed of at least 3 judges for each precinct. Whether or not that was done, I do not know, but we wanted to make sure that the statutes allowed us to conduct the elections in such a way that we wouldn't have to hire people when there was nothing but by-mail balloting going on. So we wouldn't need to have 3 people sitting at a place where there was no voting going on.
Now that's
but currently the statute reads that we have to do that.
Thank you. Representative Heron, did you have a question?
Yes, Madam Chair. Johnny, the reason for election board is, of course, we do not require ID cards to vote. If the 3 judges know, one of the 3 judges knows this person, they can confirm that is the right voter to the signature. Is that correct?
Yes, that is known as personally known. And right currently, we only require one of them to know that person.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any further questions for Ms. Blankenship? Is there anyone else on? Well, thank you very much, Ms. Blankenship, for your testimony.
Thank you for allowing me to.
Is there anybody else who is either online or in this room who would like to testify about SB 213? Well, seeing and hearing none, then we're going to close public testimony. Do you have any final comments, Mr. Simmons?
I just wanted to thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the committee. It's nice to be here in front of you today, and I really appreciate taking the time to consider this bill, and I hope you can support it.
Thank you. Any discussion? Representative Heron.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Larry, could you pass on to the senator that he's got my vote?
Thank you. Heron, thank you.
All right. Well, does that sum up discussion then? Then it's my intention to move this bill. Representative Nagia?
I move Senate Bill 213-28-LS1558-U from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Seeing no objection, the bill moves, and it is 8:36, and we are adjourned. And please, nobody leave from the committee.